Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are looking at something fascinating, a deep dive into the 2025 operational year of the Textbook and Academic Authors Organization. You might know them as TAA.
And, you know, this is a crucial one because the source materials we've gathered, they show an organization at a real turning point. They aren't just a niche service group anymore.
Not at all.
They're navigating this explosive growth while also getting pulled right into the center of the biggest legal and, frankly, ethical fights facing writers today.
Right. Things like AI, content rights, all of it.
Exactly.
So our mission today is to really unpack this transformation. We want to look at how TAA managed this, well, unprecedented surge in membership.
And what they did to support that new scale. You know, what kind of programming did they roll out?
And maybe the most critical part, how they really stepped up and became this aggressive frontline advocate for authors.
And just to frame this whole conversation, there's one number you have to keep in mind.
Okay.
Their membership grew 64%. From the end of 2022 to the end of 2025, that pushed them up to nearly 3,800 members. I mean, that kind of growth, it tells you they're becoming this powerful force that authors are frankly running to in a very disruptive time.
That is just massive. So, okay, let's unpack that. The numbers alone tell a story about organizational health. They ended 2025 with, what was it, 3,792 members.
Right. And of that, 2,350 are published authors. That's a key detail.
And it's a 12% increase just from the end of 2024. That's real organic growth in a market that's, you know, often shrinking.
It is. And when you dig into the data, you see it's not accidental. The engine for this is really their institutional memberships, or IMs.
The IMs, right.
They were up about 7.8% year over year. And TAA just, they blew past their recruitment goals for 2025 really early in the year.
I was actually really struck by that strategy. They aimed for two new institutional members. And what? They ended up with five.
Five major ones. West Virginia University, Louisiana Tech, University of Missouri, Kansas City.
Stephen F. Austin State and Northwest Nazarene University.
Yeah.
So what does that focus on IMs really tell us? Is it just about a more reliable revenue stream?
It's more than that. It's strategic leverage. When you focus on institutions, you're tapping into university resources, into professional development budgets.
Which are probably a lot more stable than an individual author's budget.
Exactly. It's a much smarter, more sustainable way to build a community quickly and reliably.
But their individual outreach, the general members or GMs, that paid off too. A solid 9% increase in total GMs compared to 2024.
Right. But look at the velocity. The sources show a 38% increase in new GMs recruited in 2025 versus the year before.
So both strategies are firing at the same time.
They are. And when you have that kind of influx, you have to protect it. That's where their retention system is so smart.
The auto-renewal process.
The auto-renewal, it works. It keeps the number of members in what they call graced status, you know, overdue but not gone yet, below 100 people.
Which is tiny. That's only about 2.7% of the whole membership.
It's incredibly low. And for those few, they have a whole system. They use email, they use mail, even phone calls to bring them back. It's a really holistic approach.
So the numbers show this incredible health. But that brings up the next question. What value are they delivering to keep all these new and old members engaged?
The toolkit.
Let's talk about the toolkit they built for authors in 2025. It seems really focused on practical skills, but also, you know, author well-being.
Totally. They ran 13 webinars, drew almost 1,000 registrants, 944 to be exact.
And the topics really tell the story, don't they?
They really do. The most popular one with 112 people was on enhancing academic expertise, critical and academic AI literacy.
Of course it was.
And that's a critical data point. It shows that authors are not in denial about AI anymore. They're not avoiding it. They are actively trying to get the skills to manage it.
They're looking for survival skills in a new world.
Absolutely.
You know, another one that stuck out to me was The Distracted Writer's Guide to Finishing Your Manuscript. Mm. That had about 102 registrants.
Yes, and the takeaway from that one was so interesting.
It was. The idea that procrastination isn't a time management problem, it's an anxiety problem.
That is a huge psychological insight for anyone trying to produce academic work. It completely reframes the issue. It moves it away from shame, you know, I just need a better calendar, to something deeper.
To needing better emotional tools.
Right. And then you had these very practical, career-focused ones. Rejected, now what? Got 54 people. And the really essential one, Copyright in the Afterlife, about estate planning. 53 authors attended that.
So building on that, they also launched a new program, these longer, four-hour virtual workshops.
Which makes total sense. They started the mid-year, and it seems like they realized the old 60-minute webinar just isn't deep enough for some of these huge topics.
Right, you need more time.
You do. The goal was deeper engagement, and it seems to have worked. They held four of these virtual writing retreats, got 173 registrants, and the feedback was basically, we want more.
A clear signal that authors want dedicated, supported time just to write.
Yes, away from the chaos of their day jobs.
And that direct engagement, it fed right back into membership growth. The sources talk about these on-site workshops at places like NMSU, BYU.
And West Virginia University. That one was incredible.
The workshop at West Virginia alone brought in 112 new members. That's a phenomenal conversion rate from a single event.
It really is. And to keep the conversation going, they had these things called conversation circles, five of them, 224 registrants.
And let me guess the hot topic.
You guessed it. Artificial intelligence and authoring. That one discussion had 98 people, followed by one on co-authoring. They are right on the pulse of what authors are dealing with, like, right now.
Okay, so that covers the educational value. But now we get to what seems like the real reason for that membership explosion.
The advocacy.
It's less about learning survival skills and more about TAA actively fighting for their members. Let's shift to that, to their role wading into these really high-stakes battles over AI and content control.
Absolutely. The whole situation around the BART's v. Anthropic AI settlement, that was a defining moment in 2025. The sources are clear that interest in that one case prompted former members to come back.
Just to see what would happen.
Just to track the outcome. But TAA didn't just track it, they intervened directly.
And this is where the story gets really dramatic. On December 22nd, 2025, a member forwards an email they got from their publisher. Sage Publishing.
A major publisher. And the email was, let's say, deeply problematic. It wasn't just advice. It was guidance that could have scared authors or pushed them into making a bad decision about the settlement.
The stakes there are huge. A major publisher sending confusing, maybe even harmful info about a landmark legal case.
It is. So TAA responded, and they responded aggressively. They filed a motion to intervene in the BART's v. Anthropic case itself.
Wow.
That action forced the issue, and the result showed their new level of influence.
You got Sage to send a curative email, right? A correction.
They did. On January 8th, 2026, Sage sent a new email to its authors correcting the misleading guidance. It was a huge public win for author agency. I mean, this association took on a global publisher and won.
And it got noticed. Publishers Weekly, Publishing Perspectives. They all covered it.
It sent a message. And beyond that one fight, their AI committee is building for the future.
Yeah, they're developing policy standards.
They've done three core things. Author consent for using their work. Payment for licensing that work for AI training, and model contract language that authors can actually use to protect themselves.
Building the defenses for the next decade.
Exactly.
So AI is the legal threat.
Yeah.
But they were also navigating these cultural and content pressures.
Mm-hmm.
The September 2025 member survey had some really interesting findings on DEI content. And, you know, we have to report this impartially.
That's right. The survey asked if publishers had requested changes to DEI content. And 6 out of 78 authors, so about 7.7%, said yes.
They were asked to remove specific terms.
Yes. Things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, and replace them with something like cultural considerations.
Now, it's really important to also say that the vast majority, 92.3%, had not faced that pressure.
Correct. 72 respondents said no. But even a small number facing that kind of pressure means the organization has to have a response.
And they did. Their CDEI committee, the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, they developed strategic priorities right away.
And this is a great example of advocacy moving from the legal to the operational. They established guiding principles for site selection for their conferences.
To avoid certain states.
Essentially, yes. They're recommending states like Nevada, New Mexico, or California for future events to avoid putting their members in states with restrictive laws. They're using their logistics to protect their community.
Okay, so that covers the advocacy work.
Yeah.
Now let's look ahead at how they're planning for the future through awards and events, starting with the textbook awards.
Right. In 2025, they honored 54 textbooks from 77 nominations. Three big categories: McGuffey, Most Promising, and textbook excellence.
And the next year cycle, 2026, already had a record 78 nominations.
So in response, the committee did something really clever with the fee structure. They lowered the nomination fee for individual members.
But they increased it for publishers.
Exactly. It encourages individuals to participate while making sure the commercial companies who benefit from the prestige are funding it. Very smart.
There was also some internal restructuring with their council awards. They brought back the President's Award.
And, this is a small but important detail, they disallowed self-nominations for the Author Mentoring Award.
Why is that so important?
Because it elevates the credibility of the award. It means you have to be recognized by your peers. You can't just put your own name forward. It makes it a true honor. They also standardized all the names to include TAA, you know, professionalizing their brand.
But the biggest shift, I think, is their whole event strategy. After a virtual conference in 2025, they're making a big pivot for 2026.
A huge pivot. They are replacing the traditional conference with something called the TAA Institute. It's scheduled for June 12th and 13th, 2026.
And it sounds much more focused.
It's all about mastery over scale. Instead of a huge event, they're doing these in-depth learning labs for different career stages, plus co-working sessions. It's designed for deep work, not just networking.
And they've got the futurist Brian Alexander as the keynoter, which signals that looking ahead is still the main priority.
It does. And they're already planning their return to in-person, June 12th and 13th, 2027, in Austin, Texas. They're already negotiating the venue.
Locking down the future even while navigating all this present-day chaos.
It's a complete strategic overhaul, all of it built on that foundation of incredible growth.
So, to summarize our deep dive for you, TAA is seeing this massive growth, and it's powered by very practical services, you know, webinars, retreats. But the critical role, the real reason for that surge, is their new function as an aggressive frontline advocate for author rights.
Right, especially in this moment of huge upheaval around AI and content.
And the clearest example of that transformation has to be that successful negotiation with a major publisher.
Forcing them to retract that misleading email in the Bartz v. Anthropic case. That was a clear, documented win for author agency that really defined their new role at the end of 2025.
And, you know, this action and all the policy work they're doing on AI, it raises a really provocative question for every author listening as we move through 2026. The sources show authors are incredibly aware of how their work is being used, whether it's by an AI model or because of some cultural shift. So if a trade association is now willing to fight a huge publisher over a single email,
right,
what specific contract protections should authors now be demanding? Not just asking for, but demanding about how their content is licensed and used for AI training and whatever comes next. That fight over ownership, over compensation, over contractual control, that feels like the critical next frontier.